flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Hey, it is Saturday afternoon again. Believe it or not, it's noon on Saturday, and this is Right at Home with Rich. I am your host, Rich Orris, and I am here to answer your questions, to go over your topics, to figure out what do you have going on around your house? How can I help you today? Maybe get through some of that. Boy, we've had some rain. I was talking last week or the last couple weeks about, I was putting in some new sod and everything and trying to get my yard better and, left the sprinkler on and I'm leaving it on for a little while yet. And, cover the outside of that sprinkler. If you still have it on, cover those lines with a blanket or something. I got mine all nice and blanketed up. But, of course, the minute you do that, it's like washing your car. The rain's just come and now I just don't even barely need it running. Got it off for a little while. But, we've had a ton of rain. And I'm sure there's some issues going on out there with it and some topics to kind of talk about with that and what's going on around your house. Do your walkabouts, see what's happening, see if you notice anything, and then give us a call, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. I'd love to help you out. I'd love to hear what you have going on, and love to see what I could do to help. So, again, phone lines are open, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. And we got a lot going on with the rain. We got a lot going on with the change in seasons coming. We got turn the clock back tonight. That drives me crazy that I wish we could just pick one and keep it and roll with it and just not have to go back and forth. It's almost like taking a long flight or something twice a year, and you got jet lag the next day. And I don't know, it's just kind of weird to me, but tonight's the night, turn them back. We'll have a little more light in the morning and it'll be dark at 5:30 in the evening, whatever. So everybody's drives home will, it'll be dark on the way home from work now. Definitely a reminder to get that done and got a lot of stuff we can kind of talk about and go over with what should you do in November, what should you do, coming into winter, how to protect some things, and think about designing too, designing stuff towards spring and getting started on that so we can kind of go over some of that stuff. What are the reasons to kind of start so early and what needs to happen, when you get into that stuff. So we can go over a lot of that or we can go over what you have going on today and around your house. Definitely have, our regular stuff at Mosby. We have our blog we do every week or two. We get a new blog out there. So this latest one is about fireplace inspirations and things you can do with different type of fireplace remodels and how to change that up and getting different looks and different types of, are you traditional? Are you more earthy? Are you, what kind of look do you want with your fireplace? You get a lot of great ideas on that blog and all of our blogs. You'll see the whole list. If you just, go check out our website at callmosby.com. That's callmosby.com. And tons and tons of information on there. You can get down to where you can see all our social media stuff. You can see some of the radio stuff, our Design Build 360. You can you know, find all kinds of useful information with our blogs, with photos and of different jobs and job types, get ideas, and just a lot of useful information we'll have on there too, just about, you know, how to look for good contractors and what should you be doing, and just a ton of information down all through there. Our seminar series is done for now, so they'll be rolling out a new one, you know, in a few months here for next year. But we will have, coming up in December, we'll have our Stuff the Truck event coming up and kind of helping kids and getting toys. And last year we did a food drive with it too. I'm not sure if we'll do that also again, but we'll see, you know, what all we can drum up in that event. So I'll be talking about that, you know, pretty shortly, and then in the next few weeks we'll start getting some of that information in. So that'll be some new stuff going on, you know, around Mosby, what we're doing. So, and for newer people or people that, you know, don't know yet or haven't listened enough, I'm Rich Orris, and I am a senior sales consultant for Mosby Building Arts. So basically, you know, helping people just like this radio show is primarily what I do all week long. Get to go out, visit, kind of see. Sometimes it's easier when you're out and about and you get to actually see the issues. On the radio, it's interesting trying to, you know, as you're describing and I'm asking questions and you're answering, I'm trying to visualize, you know, everything I've seen in my past and build this picture in my mind. So sometimes it is a little easier when you're out and about and you get to get in that attic, or you get to crawl around and, you know, really get in a crawl space or something and, you know, really find the answers is, you know, kind of neat thing, and can be easier to do in some of those situations. But, you know, so I'm kind of envisioning what's happening and everything to try and, you know, get to some of these answers. But we have, you know, a large staff at Mosby Building Arts. They're all our employees. And we have years and years of information and knowledge. Some people that's been around for longer than I have, you know, over 17 years with the company. Some people newer. But I bet if we added it up, oh, man, we've got hundreds of years of experience in this industry, you know, overall, in order to kind of get people through things and help people out and, you know, get to the right project. So we have a complete design staff. We have licensed architects on staff. We have designers and all the people, drafts people to get projects figured out and drawn up and designed for you. And that's, you know, kind of my other half that, you know, kind of helps me. And then I'm that production, you know, leading side that kind of helps that design staff put some good projects together and really get things, you know, done in a good building manner, and what's the best way in and out, and can you build something, and how do we get around things, and how do we support things, and then we can go all the way into, you know, the full construction of it. We have all these tradesmen on staff, on hand, our people, always in a Mosby logo to, you know, help and serve and get your projects done, you know, all the way through the whole project. So we have the project managers, we have licensed plumbing, licensed electrical, we have our own brick mason, painting division, all our painting guys, drywall. I mean, so we do the majority of all of this on hands ourselves. We've learned from what we do. We've learned from mistakes and how to make it good and right and better and training and all this different stuff. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm doing throughout the week. So this hour is to me, you know, pretty much the same thing with, you know, the lucky general public that can just jump on board and got a weird thing. Let's figure it out. I also want to remind everybody about our Stefanina's gift card giveaway that we always do every week. So when you call in, if you leave a phone number and location with that and ask me a question on the air, and we'll pick one lucky caller at the beginning of the week, and you will win a $25 Stefanina's Italian Pizzeria Restaurant gift card, which is an awesome place. I talk about it all the time. Go there all the time. Absolutely love all their stores, the family, everything. Great family atmosphere. So get in on that. Leave them a phone number, and we'll get one lucky caller picked, and all we do is call you up, get your information, mail it out to you, and you got that gift card. So feel free to give us a call, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797, and we'll be right back. All right, we are back. And got some great stuff going. Definitely got the phone lines wide open to help you out. So get in on that $25 Stefanina's gift card. The phone lines are open, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. So I think I'll kind of start us off here. I've got something crappy, I think, to talk about here that I hope that's an okay word to say on the air there, Eric, but, you know, I've got this story I saw.
If you missed Eye on Health today, we went way more clinically blue than that. So
okay, yeah, I was getting prepared, so I didn't, that's good to know. So, but yeah, this is actually kind of funny, kind of a crappy issue, I would call it. And maybe some people out there have seen or heard some of this. There was some things going around on Facebook about it, and that's what, you know, first kind of caught my attention to it. So then I started doing a little research in to see how true it was and kind of how bad it truly was. And so it's about flushable wipes. And, you know, I've said this from the get-go. The first time I saw them, I was like, wow, that just doesn't seem right. And that just can't necessarily be a good thing. And so there's all these stories now about all the different sanitation systems and all these different cities that are having huge problems, and they're taking out tons and tons of these so-called flushable wipes that are supposed to be biodegradable and all that, and are supposed to work like toilet paper. So there was a couple different stories that, you know, I kind of had seen and looked up, and in New York, they had a pretty big problem. And this is from the New York Times. And it was interesting kind of reading it because they called their sewer systems under siege, that they're spending millions of dollars on equipment damage, you know, in New York, having these flushable wipes go through. And, you know, I had two children. I have two kids. They were young. We used the wipes that, you know, baby wipes, they've been popular for years, you know, for children, and you just throw them away. You put them in the diaper and you got your whole system and you're used to getting rid of all that. But when they got popular here in the past, you know, few years with adults, you know, using these wipes, and the first time I saw, you know, some that I was actually branded as flushable, I was kind of like, wow. I just don't think that's good. And I would advise everybody, if you use those, take one of those and just hold it up next to, you know, one layer of toilet paper and take a quick peek at it and just see, does it seem like it would be as degradable as the toilet paper that's right next to it? And I've personally done the same thing and had conversations with, you know, garbage disposals are the same way. Table scraps, stuff like that, that's great. It's a great thing to have to break that up before it gets in your drain and everything. But you empty the plate in the trash, and then you rinse off some of those scraps on the plate that just were, you know, sticking or hard to get off. You don't dump the whole plate. You don't take your leftover spaghetti and dump a half a pound of noodles down in the garbage disposal, and you end up with a problem. And, you know, I feel these flushable wipes can be the exact same way. They've actually started some lawsuits against some of these manufacturers in New York. They've started a ban against them, saying don't use them. You know, it's kind of destroying everything. So the city of New York has spent $18 million in the past 5 years with these wipe-related equipment problems. And they're not the only city out there that, you know, has kind of been in the middle of this and looking and doing some research on this. They're definitely not alone. There's a whole list of Hawaii, Alaska, Wisconsin, California, Portland, Oregon, Portland, Maine, Charleston, West Virginia, And Charleston, South Carolina has a huge problem that they've went through. And man, you want to talk about a crazy, crazy story of how these things get fixed and these issues get fixed and these, you know, problems get taken care of. So in Charleston, South Carolina, divers had to go down 80 to 90 feet in pitch black sewage to break apart, and they pulled out 2,000 pounds of these, you know, wipes that people are flushing down. I mean, talk about a place you don't want to be, you know, like, oh my gosh, I definitely don't want to go down there. So in an interview with, you know, one of the Charleston Sanitary Board guys, he said, and I've seen this myself with like training with Kohler and some of the good Kohler products, you know, that we use and how they design their toilets and all this. They actually have a thing where they show you like flushing down like 5 golf balls, you know, to show you how good a toilet can actually work these days. And so his comment was a golf ball is flushable, but is it a good idea to flush a golf ball? So, you know, it's kind of, think about that. And so in doing a little more research into it, you know, the market research on these wipes from the past, you know, few years, and from 2008 to 2013, there was a research done on them that the usage had grown over 23%, and they're selling over $360 some million worth of these flushable wipes. And so, of course, when you talk to, listen to, or read about the actual manufacturers, they're saying, well, people are using the wrong thing. They're flushing things that some are labeled flushable and some aren't, and that these wipes should, you know, work as well as toilet paper and should be, you know, flushable and should biodegrade and shouldn't really have a problem. But, man, when you look at the statistics and all this, and in New York they've got a Senate bill that they're, you know, I don't know if it's passed or not, or they were trying. It was from like 2015, you know, prohibiting the manufacturers from even labeling them, you know, because it's like, well, if it is biodegradable, how much time? What are you talking about? You know, it needs to happen in a certain amount of time. So it's just, you know, I just urge everybody out there to think about what you're doing and what you're putting down there and how that's actually, you know, going to work or what that might, you know, do in to your system or to the main system of, you know, the whole city that you live in. And we've got, I've got Daryl on the line, and he has a personal testimony about these wipes. So we're going to go to the phone. Daryl, are you with us?
I am.
Awesome. Thanks for kicking us off today. What happened with you?
2 plumbing trips within a 30-day time frame due to flushable wipes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Due to quote unquote flushable wipes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And
so don't buy what they're selling. And I've never had a plumber come out for anything like that before ever. It was just with those. It wasn't any other problem but that. That was it.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at them, if you think about it, you know, it's kind of amazing that they do get to label that flushable in my eyes. And I think they really need to examine, you know, because it could, maybe it does break down, but maybe it takes like a year.
The plumber himself said, I know what it says. Don't believe it. It's not true. I get these calls. He stated it outright. He said they're not flushable wipes. They shouldn't be sold as flushable wipes. It's simply not true. He stated it. So yeah. Learn from my lesson.
Yeah. So my next question is what I would like to think about too, is if they did a study across the country of how many people like you have had a plumber out 2, 3, you know, maybe 4 different times or whatever, because of these wipes, we're spending, you know,
that would be a class, and therefore a class action lawsuit would be in order.
Yeah. You would certainly think about that, you know, if, you know, everybody's spending $200, $300, $400 to, you know, clear out their drain lines across the country. Yeah, but that could end up being just millions and millions, and then you got all these places spending 18 million, 10 million, all these cities. It's unbelievable.
Whoever's doing it, Procter & Gamble or Johnson & Johnson or whatever conglomerates behind it, probably in their best interest to find a way to shush it up right now. They probably are going to have to start A, withdrawing the product, and B, possibly sprinkling some money throughout the country before it becomes an out-of-control beast. But their call.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, Daryl, I appreciate the call. Yep. I appreciate the backup on that one. And, you know, it's good to hear actually from someone that's had this happen, because I'm like the proponent. The minute I saw them, I was like, "Do not put those down our toilet." Like, you got to. That cannot be right.
Then you were one step smarter than I was.
Yeah, yeah. Well, take it's care. Just from yeah. You take care too. Thanks for the call, and you know, great thing there that I can only imagine how many people have had this done. And lucky for me, you know, it's kind of that learn from your mistakes things. Lucky for me, being in the industry, I've cleaned these messes up. I've cleared the pipes. I've seen, you know, 8 inches, 10 inches of sewage in a basement. I've seen, so it almost kind of put that fear in me, you know, is getting to learn and see and work on all that to kind of, once I saw this, I'm kind of like, oh man, there's no way that this can be good. And so, and something I've talked about, and you know, I don't do it. I haven't tried it. I probably should, you know, kind of like practice what you preach thing or whatever. But I have a lot of clients that are going to these bidet seats. They're like toilet seats that you need an outlet for, and you plug them in, and it's a bidet seat. So a lot of my clients that travel overseas and stuff, they all come back and they love this. And everyone I've talked to in the industry is like, oh, it's the best way. It's the cleanest. It's all. I haven't gotten myself there, but I do recommend everybody try that, because I haven't really had, you know, I've had a ton of people that really like them and are getting them, and you know, they're just a proponent of them, and I think that's probably the best thing for our sewage systems anyways. So, you know, try that out somewhere and do that. So we're going to get to a hard break here, and we will be right back. All right, welcome back. We are here. We are here to help you. We're here to take your calls and see what we can do. Got a lot of different subjects and things we can touch on, but we'd love to help you out. So feel free to give me a call, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. Got a lot of stuff because of the change in time and season and rain and different things. So I've got some things on the list about, you know, what to do in November and what to do with winter coming up and, you know, different stuff like that. And kind of leading right into that, I think, is probably going to be Jeff's question. Got a caller there about some gutter protection. So we're going to go to Jeff and see what he's got going on with his gutters. How you doing, Jeff?
Okay.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling. What do you got going on with your gutters?
Well, I have my family member put these gutter covers on, and they kind of got slots on them. They're dark in color, like dark gray or black, and they've got slots in them. And she put them on and said they were working great, and so I decided to put them on my house and the rental property. So I put 300 foot of it on all around the gutters. And they're working everywhere. I've noticed that the gutters were overflowing in one spot. And I have this tree that has these little balls and debris that's basically getting down through those slots. It's working good everywhere else except for this one spot. And I'm wondering if there's any way to remedy that. I've seen this real fine screen. I don't really want to, you know, I'm a do-it-yourselfer.
Sure.
I'm wondering if there's some way to fix what I've got up there.
I would say probably not, but because you got to, when you look at gutter protection, you really got to pay attention to, you know, what are you trying to protect from? And some of that protection that has the slots or the holes in it, I mean, we put stuff like that in too, and you kind of try and analyze, well, what's around you? Because when you have the slots or the holes in something that sits sort of flat, you can still get that debris on top of it, and you can get, you know, like pine needles go into the holes and, you know, things catch into the slots. And so there's different types out there that might work better for that type of debris. So, you know, you might really what you probably have to try and consider is there a different type of gutter, you know, protection guard system that you can put maybe just in that area that will work better for whatever that type of tree and debris is, so it doesn't get stuck in there. That's kind of where I'd probably take you. I think anything else you do, you're probably still going to have that problem. And if you add some sort of screen, you're going to kind of slow the water getting into it and stuff like that. It's not going to work, you know, maybe like it should anyways. So I would look at that area. How big is it? And do the research on, is there a different gutter protection that would work for that debris, you know, in that area?
Okay.
And there's several different types. And of course, the best one out there is that leaf guard gutter system. I've been a proponent of this for years, but it's the most costly system out there, but it's the one that will work for everything and not have issues and be guaranteed and backed up and all of that. But there are different gutter guards and helmets and things that you can try, you know, that try to emulate what that leaf guard does. And maybe you can get that, you know, installed properly enough in that area that it will work for you in that area.
Can I install that myself?
Not all of them, because a lot of the helmets and stuff, it's like proprietary, you know, companies that actually do it.
Okay.
But I would just start really searching the different types and see what you can find that works for, you know, whatever type of tree you have.
Okay. And I had I'll look into that and see what else I could find.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a comment. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but there's stuff that's repeating on the on your signal. Just like it could be a few words here and there repeating yourself. I don't know if that's me or it's you, but I noticed it yesterday and it's continuing today.
Jeff, thanks for telling us. We're not hearing that in the studio, but we'll make sure to get the engineers on it.
Okay, good enough.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for the comment for sure. And thanks for calling in. Great question. Great topic that, you know, people work on a lot. And that's part of that whole, it's November, we're coming into winter, you know, what should I be doing? And, you know, making sure those gutters are clear and clean, making sure debris away from the roof, don't get ice damming, you know, keep everything away from those gutters and make sure they're functioning. You don't want too much ice collecting in them. So if there's stuff catching in there, you might get, you know, slow down the water, more ice, the weight on the gutters, you know, with the ice and stuff in it will definitely can pull away and start, you know, causing some damage. Working on gutters in the winter isn't the most fun that you can possibly have for sure. So some of that list of things to do and what should you be looking at is those gutters. How do you protect them? How do you keep them clean? Keep debris, you know, even off the roof and the shingles and, you know, all of that also. And there's, you know, a whole list of different things that you could look at, you know, doing this time of year to, you know, kind of get ready for, you know, what's up ahead and what's coming and what should you be, you know, working on and doing. So the daylight savings time is obviously a big one.
Rich, you should just repeat that point again just to mess with Jeff.
Yeah, just the daylight savings time is really a big one. November. That's awesome. Yeah. Your ceiling fans is another one this type of year. Think about, you know, which direction they're going. Reverse those ceiling fans so that, you know, and it's opposite of what most people think, that, you know, in the winter your heat's rising, so you want those ceiling fans to actually blow that air down towards you. You want to move that heat, you know, back down. So and I know in the summer, you know, you turn it on, you got it blowing down at you and you think, but in the summer you want it pulling the cool air up. So you actually, it's contrary to popular belief, but think about the direction that those fans, you know, are going. So, and then, you know, other things you can think about is like firewood, make sure you're stocked up. If you have wood burning, get your chimneys checked, get them cleaned out, check out the furnace, water heater, flues, all of that. Another big one that, you know, a lot of people don't think about is just getting prepared. Get yourself prepared for what may happen. We haven't had a whole lot of snow, you know, in the past few years, but prepare your snow shovels. If you have a snow blower, get it, you know, serviced and gassed and ready to go and make sure it runs and, you know, all of that. You can lubricating your overhead garage doors, making sure they're ready to go. Treating the rubber at the bottom edge of that garage door, you can put a little wax on there to kind of so it doesn't stick to the floor in the freezing weather. That's another trick that kind of, you know, helps out. So getting some of this stuff, you know, done and ready for the cold time or the snow and all of that. November's definitely the month to be doing all of this for sure. So it's also the month we advise checking out your dishwasher filter. And maybe a trash compactor or any type of countertop appliances that have filters and things like that, you know, check them out, make sure they're working, make sure they're clean, get a new one. You know, there, and a lot of people don't even know that, you know, your dishwasher, it's another thing where it's like clean the, you know, it's kind of like that garbage disposal, clean your stuff up, you know, make it, to try not to get too much debris in there because there is a filter in there. And a lot of people just don't even know that you need to clean that out and take it out, clean it. I definitely recommend doing that at least once a year to keep that dishwasher working right. And most people find out when they have an issue with something like that. So, but recharge all fire extinguishers, get them recharged, check the expiration dates or get new ones. You know, the fire departments will recharge these for you and make sure they're good and working. That's a great thing to do this time of year. And then, definitely before it gets too cold, you know, rummage around the outside of the house. Like we're talking about the inspection, we'll go around, just make sure all your outdoor lighting is working, that nothing's burnt out, that nothing needs to be, you know, checked or, you know, redone, or, you know, maybe you got a bad fixture you don't even know about that, you know, getting to it sooner before it's too cold is definitely a good idea. And trimming your trees, thinking about winter coming and getting them away from the house. All those animals are looking for a warm place to go. So keep them at least about 3 feet from the house and trimming them back just so winter storms, think about the weight. If you get an ice storm, stuff like that, that's when those trees come down. So get your trees, you know, ready to go for that too. And, you know, get them, you know, trimmed back and good for winter. And that's just some good practices and good things to think about in November. So I think we're going to get into our final break here, and we are around. I'm here to answer your questions, so feel free to give me a call, 314-241-9797. All right, this is it. Last segment. Running out of time here, but definitely have time for a call or two. If you have anything, feel free to give us a buzz, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. And probably what I would like to, you know, next thing on the list here is, you know, talking about future projects, talking about thinking about that next project, you know, when do you start into it? When do you start, you know, planning? And, you know, now and through winter is a great time to start planning for that next project. There, you know, people get a little bit slowed down. I mean, things have been really strong, really running good, but, you know, there's a little more freedom in December and some times like that in January. And thinking about even outdoor projects, even though, you know, it's like, well, most people don't think about it till spring rolls around. But if you're thinking of that outdoor project, you know, kitchen, outdoor patios and roof covers and, you know, screened in porches and stuff. I mean, now and through winter is a great time to take the time and start thinking about what's next on your list, you know, and what are you doing and how are you going to do it? And, you know, I kind of propone that same thing with like maintenance stuff too, is like, you know, think about how old your water heater or your furnace is and start, you know, talking. It's the same type of system, even with remodeling, is think about what you're going to you know, what's going to happen. Because if your water heater goes out, you know, on Thanksgiving, you're going to be pressured into something to get it quick, and you're going to make split decisions that may not be the best decision or the best thing that, you know, you're looking for. There could be better answers. And it's the same thing with remodeling, whether it's a kitchen inside or a bathroom inside. You know, take the time and go through all those steps and really figure out what you're going to do and what you want. And it just allows you to make such a great educated decision on an entire project like that. And same thing with the maintenance. You get to have a good educated decision on, I'm planning for this. This is my next furnace. I've already found it, and I'm ready to go. I know what it's going to cost. I can save for it. I can think about it. And then I, you know, if you get it done prior to it just breaking down, you'll just be that much better off. So when you think about the steps in even an indoor kitchen, just a regular kitchen or bathroom, or, you know, outdoor work and what you need to do to figure out, I've got a really great repeat client I was just with last week, and we were talking about, well, we're really talking about windows, but then they've been saving and waiting for this master bathroom. And, you know, so we're making plans of, you know, maybe starting designing in January when we have a little more free time and we can get through it. And honestly, we're maybe talking about doing this job in January or February of 2020. But it's get prepared, know what you want, find the stuff, know exactly what it's going to cost. You can be so ready and so educated on what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. And then you get to pick when you want to do it too. You know, it's not a rush thing, or, you know, it's not just up to someone's schedule. So when you get into something like that, you know, picking a professional, you know, your first step is going to be, who do you pick? What kind of designer? What kind of company? Is it, you know, full design build like Mosby? Or are you just looking for, you know, simpler, like an exteriors thing? What, really do some research on what would work best for you and your needs in this type of project. And you know, time is good because it gives you time to figure things out and really know and understand. So when you get into, once you get through there, and you look at, like, say, an outdoor project, and you're saying, all right, you know, I want a patio, I want a kitchen, I want a roof, and you're going to survey that area, figure the stuff out, get the measurements, you're going to go through this, you know, kind of compile all this design information and site details of, you know, what's going to happen. You can think about that preliminary budget and how you're designing it and how you're figuring things out. Getting to see multiple ways to do things can really, you know, help you pick something that is really going to be the best thing for you. So when we go through a conceptual design and you get to see three backyard designs, kind of good, better, best, most expensive, least expensive, then you can kind of work through, pick through, and you could see the options and things that you like, things that maybe you dislike. You know, it's kind of like a working meeting. How do we figure that out? So going through and doing all of that and having that plan. So, you know, once you get to that plan, you can compile the three designs. Usually there's, you know, one mixed in where it's like, all right, I'll take what I really like and the really nice, neat, expensive one that has everything, and I'm going to drop that down into this one, see where I end up. And then you got to think about, you know, shopping. You got that shopping step of what is every single piece of material out there, the colors, the type of materials. Is it, you know, concrete, or is it, you know, blocks? Is it, you know, pavers put down? Do you have walls around it or not? Is there some sort of stone that you got to kind of match up and mix? So going out shopping and, you know, finding everything that you want. And if you ended up in kitchen inside or outside, you got a lot of things to pick with any kind of kitchen, you know, that you're doing or working on. So once you have all that, then you can kind of finalize those selections, get them in there, finalize the drawings, have everything kind of done and ready to go. So when you think about it, something like that, you know, can really add up some time. It's good to be able to take the time to do it. You need some time off work to get some of this seen and looked at and decisions made and actually go out shopping. You know, when you're with professionals, you'll need some time off work. So being able to spread that out really works to your advantage. So when you start moving towards construction, then we've still got to order stuff, get it in. So there's time and delays and all of that. Get the project manager on board that's going to run it, set the construction schedule, really figure out, you know, how it's going to go. So when you look at all that and you look at the time that that can take, you know, think about even if you started around Valentine's Day with something and you had around, you know, it could take up to like 6 weeks to really design something like this and get through it and get the answers and get things ordered. Then you've got your construction delay of when, once we have all those answers, when can you really start? When is a company really available? That could be another month sometimes. So you could really have 3 or 4 months before you even start even breaking ground. So in a hurry can be 3 or 4 months. So if you take and you have, give yourself 5 or 6 months, then you get to pick that construction date. You get to, you know, really figure out when it will work. When can I get it in, you know, and talk about when would you like it completed by, and just pick through it. So for my client I'm looking at with the bathroom and everything, she's like, yeah, you know, let's go ahead. I think in the beginning of the year would be good. And then we'll have our answers. And then we can really think about, you know, when we exactly want to start the following year, make sure we have everything ready in line, everything ready to go, and take, it's like eliminating the hiccups out of the system, not having to worry about things that may happen down the road, or, you know, think about starting a job too soon. 'Cause you kind of just, all right, well, nope, cabinets are on order. They should be here in 3 weeks. So we're going to go ahead and start. And then you don't have a confirmation. So all of a sudden there's a delay and they're like, well, cabinets didn't show up. So now you've got this 2-3 week delay of what I haven't thought about, or, you know, what I didn't get ready for. So bringing all these things in, having them in our warehouse, ready to go, lined up for a project so we can walk through, get it started, have the dates, go through seamlessly. It just helps get everything done with so much ease for everybody. And it's easier for you and it's easier for us to know exactly how it's going to go and all the expectations set. And you're through this and you are so happy at the end that there was so much detail in how to get through it, and how to get it done, that, you know, you really, really love what happened in the end. And that's what, you know, that's the things that are kind of missing from our industry that, you know, aren't always thought about is, you know, and when you hear people complain, you know, about companies, that's the type of thing that I'm trying to, the voids I'm trying to fill in what we do here at Mosby Building Arts. You know, you hear those complaints, they took too long, stuff didn't come in, they didn't communicate well. You know, they just were, I couldn't get a hold of them. They weren't showing up. The guy would show up, work 1 or 2 days, and then he was gone again for 5 more days. You know, they said it would take 2 months and it took 6 months. And, you know, all these things, this is why we work so hard on these processes and getting everything together and ready for a project for you and for us so that we can, because it helps us organize our people. It helps us get through it quicker. It helps us be efficient and be, you know, efficient for everybody and just get through projects so well that you will absolutely love it. You'll love the system and how it's done. So, you know, the advice here is start thinking about that project and start getting people out. Start planning for that much, much sooner than you really think, and kind of take that time. And you know, I invite everybody, have us out, have me out. I'd love to come out and look at what you're doing. And you can call our office at 314-909-1800 and or check out our website, like I was talking about earlier, callmosby.com, callmosby.com, and just, you know, get the information and have us out and, you know, get things started and get us started early. We're ready for you. So, hey, had a great time, and I will look forward to talking to everybody next Saturday. Have a good week.
More at 971talk.com.